Good morning. Thank you for joining us online for our service together this morning here at Enfield Town Community Church. If you're new, special welcome to you. We're really pleased that you've tuned in to worship with us today. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to be leading us through our time of worship together. How have you felt this week as we've had more news about rising COVID cases? How have you felt this week as they've put stricter kind of measures on us again and we've perhaps lost some of the freedoms we were starting to enjoy? How have you coped as we've thought about the students and their lockdown and the struggles they're facing? How have you felt this week as we've been told that perhaps this is going to go on for a bit longer than we expected? I guess many of us might feel a bit deflated and a bit fed up this morning, and we're desperately in need of some good news. And if that's the case, I want to read us Isaiah 52 and verse 7. This is what it says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, that is God's people, God's city, your God reigns. Friends, in all the ups and downs of life, we need to hear that good news. Our God reigns. And that is a message of peace, because we can have peace of heart. It is a message of salvation, because God is our Saviour, the one who sent Jesus into this world to rescue us, and the one who will send him again to come for us. Friends, it is good news this morning that our God reigns. And we're going to sing that truth to our hearts now with our opening song, Awake, Awake, O Zion.
Our God reigns, and who's
Let's pray together. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you today that you reign. You are seated on the throne of this universe in all its ups and downs. You are seated on the throne and you are there, O God, to help us and to guide this world through its troubles. It brings us peace to know that our times are in your hands, good hands, loving hands, the hands of the one who sent his Son to die for our sins and to rescue us from this present evil age. As we join together this morning in spirit, if not in person, then please today would you encourage our hearts, strengthen our faith, forgive us our sins, fill us with hope, and send us out from watching this together this morning into this week with fresh joy, with fresh boldness to make Jesus known, and with the peace in our hearts that you reign. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we're going to go to Glenn and Steve now to learn some more big truths about Jesus that are going to stretch our minds today. So over to Glenn and Steve.
Hey guys, I hope you're holding up well. I'm Glenn and this is Steve. And as many of you know, we're working our way through the titles for Jesus in Colossians 1 verses 15 to 23. Oh, Glenn, can I show the boys and girls the things I own? No. Not yet, that'll be later. Okay, you let me know when, and I'll show them the things I've owned. Now, down here, right down here. I can see. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, we're working our way through Colossians 1, 15 to 23, and we're trying to get a bigger view of who Jesus is. Maybe you've heard people say Jesus was just a good teacher, or maybe people have said Jesus was just a miracle worker, or maybe even they're saying that Jesus never really existed. Oh, I've heard people say that. I know, people say that a lot. But the people who knew Jesus best disagreed with all of those statements. Paul, who wrote Colossians, would say Jesus was so much bigger than those things. And to help us, he gives us loads of titles that help us to understand who the real Jesus is. And we've covered two of them already, haven't we, Steve? Do you remember them?
Yeah, Jesus is the Son and... Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Exactly. And there's one more that we're going to look at from verse 15. This is what verse 15 says. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And it's that last bit that we're going to focus in on. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation.
Well, that's really exciting. Can I now show the boys and girls the things I own?
No, in a little bit.
But I got them out especially for the boys and girls. I get what the title means. Jesus was the first one born from all creation. So can I now show them the things?
In a bit. And actually, Steve, what you just said there about Jesus was very wrong. Jesus wasn't the first one born. He's the firstborn.
Oh. What's the difference?
Well, a lot, actually. The firstborn was a title for a person. Just like people have job titles these days.
Oh, yeah. Mine is the Ambassador of Buzz.
Sorry, yours is the Ambassador of Buzz.
Yeah, that's my job title.
Right, okay. Well, like I was saying, the firstborn is a title that comes from the Old Testament. It's a title that was given to the person who would inherit the father's stuff. You could say the title was given to the future owner of things. Now, it was normally used for the first one born, but not all the time. You see, for Esau was the first one born, but Jacob, his younger brother, became the firstborn. Jacob was the one who was going to get his father's things.
Oh, that is exciting. Right, now can I show the boys and girls my things?
Yes, let's do it. Okay, let's show the boys and girls the things that you own.
This is my favorite toy. Look at this one.
What is that? Oh, wow, okay.
Look, it's a cow. That's my favourite one. It's a cow.
Okay.
And this is my next one. This is more of a friend.
What is this?
This is my friend, an egg. My friend the egg.
Okay, brilliant. And I've got one more. Okay, sure. What is this last one? Well, here we go. It's a puppet of you. What? It's a puppet of me? Yeah, listen.
Hello, my name's Glenn.
Doesn't sound or look anything like me. Yeah, it does. I've seen the pictures of when you dyed your hair blonde. Look at these boys and girls. Hey, hey, that's enough. That was a different time, Steve. And I don't think he looks anything like me. What do you think, boys and girls? But this really helps us to understand Jesus as the firstborn. You see, as we gave you ownership of these items, you could say, if you were around in the Old Testament, that you are the firstborn over these items because you are the owner of them.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that because I'm not old like you. You were around in the Old Testament times, weren't you, Glenn?
No, and that's very cheeky. But this helps us to understand something about Jesus. You see, it means that God the Father has given Jesus ownership of all creation. So that's me, you, everyone watching, boys and girls, mums and dads, everyone. Jesus is the owner over us all. He's the firstborn over all creation, and God has given it over to him.
Oh, wow, that is really cool. So you could say that Jesus is number one.
You could say that. And actually, we're going to sing that song now before we head back to the church. Jesus, number one, right at the top where he belongs. Who he is and what he's done makes Jesus number one.
Bye.
Cheers.
Make Jesus number one. Jesus is number one, right at the top where he belongs. Who he is and what he's done make Jesus number one. He's the Son of God.
Jesus number one, yeah.
He rose from the dead.
Jesus number one, yeah.
He'll rule eternally.
Jesus number one, yeah.
Supremacy.
Jesus number one.
Come on.
Jesus number one. Right at the top where he belongs. Who he is and what he's done. Jesus number one. Jesus number one. Right at the top where he belongs. Who he is and what he's done. Jesus number one.
Wow, thanks so much, Glenn and Steve. They are some big truths about Jesus. And thank you for helping us to start thinking about them and getting our heads into those big truths about Jesus. If you want to learn more big truths from the Bible, boys and girls, then let me remember to give you a plug for the Big Bible Adventure that happens on Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on our YouTube channel. You can watch there and learn more great stuff about Jesus if you want to do that. Well, once again, let me welcome you if you're new. It's great to have you joining us online today. Please do make yourself known to us if you've been watching or tuning in. There's several ways that you can do that. You could send us an email, office@enfieldtown.church, and we'll be in touch. Or you can phone the church office. We'll pick up the messages if you leave us a message there. And we would love to connect with you in various ways. If you're a member of this church, a formal member, then don't forget that tomorrow evening, Monday the 28th of September, we have a members meeting. Hopefully you will have already been sent a link for that meeting on how to join. But please be there if you can, as we share together about some important things in the life of church. Next Sunday morning, the 4th of October, we have a guest service, a service on a Sunday morning online like this, which we hope will be geared up to help people engage with the Christian faith a little bit. Perhaps you've got friends you can invite to watch, family that you might invite to watch as well. The subject is, we're coming back to the one we did last time. So last time we thought, what difference does it make being a Christian, following Jesus in the coronavirus? We're going to come back to that question, but think about a slightly different answer from the Bible this time as well. So what difference does it make following Jesus during the coronavirus? Part two next week. So please be thinking about who you can invite and join us next Sunday. Lastly, to say it's our 5 p.m. this evening. If you've booked, we look forward to seeing you here tonight. If you haven't booked, then please join us online on our YouTube channel, 5 p.m., and we'll be carrying on thinking about how our prayers can be shaped by what the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Well, we're now going to spend some time in prayer. And Colin and Sue, who are members of the church here, are going to lead us in prayer.
Good morning. Before we come to pray, I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 100. And the psalmist writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations."
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come and praise you this morning in the knowledge that you are our Creator God, Rescuer, Shepherd and Friend. We acknowledge at times we forget your promises and live our lives to our own direction. Please, Lord, forgive us for the times we have sinned in our thoughts, words and actions. Help us to be obedient to your word and live in accordance with your commands. Thank you, Lord, for the many promises in your word of salvation for those who put their trust in you. Father, we pray for our country during this time of COVID. We pray for our leaders in government, especially for Boris Johnson and others in authority, that they would make wise decisions as they seek to bring the virus under control. We pray the restrictions announced this week will be effective. We want to pray, Lord, also for our wider community, for healthcare workers and teachers, carers, and all that keep us safe, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we want to thank you for our church family. We pray that we would be a good witness to the love of the Lord Jesus in our community. And Father, we thank you that we can pray for each other, knowing that you hear our prayers. Father, we pray for those this week who are returning to university, some who are leaving home for the first time. We pray for Christian unions, that they would be effective with the help of your Spirit in speaking of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for Dorothy Burrows, who returned yesterday And we pray that she would be faithful this year in speaking of her Saviour. Our Father, we bring those in our church family who are going through tough times to you. We want to pray for Bruce and Margaret Cunningham. Father, we pray that in all the challenges that lay ahead for Bruce, that he would know your loving care. We ask that you would sustain him and Margaret and the family. Father, we bring also Jenny and Steve White to you, and we pray that Jenny would be able to get effective chemotherapy treatment, all the treatment that she needs. May they know your faithfulness. And Lord, we also want to pray for others who are undergoing similar treatment. We ask for your safekeeping, knowing that you are faithful to all your promises. We pray for Chris Martin and for Malcolm McLennan and for Doreen Morwood and for others that are known to us. We pray for Andy and Pam this morning in the loss of Andy's dad. And we thank you so much that Andy's dad knew his Saviour. We thank you for all the years that you gave to him. And we pray that you would comfort and sustain Andy at this time. Lord, we also want to thank you for our older folk, and we especially this morning want to pray for Richard and Jean. We thank you so much for them. We pray that Richard would know full recovery from his operation. We pray that you would help Jean as she cares for him. May they know your loving care. And Father, for our older folk, we ask that you would help them as they feel the burden of age. We pray for those who would perhaps feel isolated and lonely. We ask that you would be with them at this time, that they would know your presence. And Father, we thank you again that you are good. We thank you that your love endures forever. We thank you that your faithfulness continues through all generations. And we bring these prayers to you in and through the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's great that you can join us today. My name's Tim. I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to get our Bibles open now, so please go grab one. And please turn to Philippians chapter 1. It's a New Testament letter. I found the second half of the Bible. And we're going to continue this morning looking at the theme of joy. Now, the purposes of these Sunday mornings, this is the third week we're looking at the theme of joy in Philippians. The purpose of these Sunday mornings is not to kind of beat us into feeling more joyful or to undermine difficult situations that we may be in at the moment. But with the Spirit's help, as we sit under God's word together, my prayer is that even in the midst of difficulty or wherever you're at today, that you would look to the same source of joy that we read the Apostle Paul was looking to, that are ultimately found in our Lord Jesus. See, Paul wrote of joy in this letter more than anything else. And remember, he's in prison. He writes later on, he experiences much hardship and often is in much need. And yet he writes more about joy than anything else. So as Owen reads Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12 for us now, why don't you listen out? What sort of joy is Paul pointing to this morning? Owen, over to you.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, reading through to the first part of verse 18. This is on page 1178, if you happen to have a copy of the Church Bible with you. Otherwise, it may vary. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through to the first part of verse 18. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. This is God's word to us this morning. Amen.
Brilliant. Well, let me pray before we turn back and look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, as we hear your voice this morning, please enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us your grace to understand your word and help us to obey it fully. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple of years ago, here at a prayer meeting, we were praying for the persecuted church around the world. And we heard about a pastor somewhere in Asia who'd been imprisoned for a number of years. He was away from his friends, away from his family. It sounded just a really difficult situation. And yet the prayer request from this church and from this pastor in particular was not for his release from prison. It was actually for continued boldness to speak of Jesus. It became clear that this pastor who was asking for prayer was full of joy because he was experiencing more kind of gospel fruit in prison than he had seen outside of prison. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow. And it deeply impacted me. See, this pastor, like Paul in his letter here, his priority for gospel advance was so evident in his thinking that it gave him a radical perspective on life and ministry. His joy was not found in physical circumstance, but in the advance of the gospel, in the joy of Jesus being proclaimed and honoured. Now, I start with this kind of mini trip down memory lane for you, because this is exactly what Paul is writing about in these verses that Owen read for us a moment ago. See, Paul finds joy in the gospel advancing as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Now, let me just unpick that statement a little bit. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, the good news of his life, death, and resurrection. It is a preached or announced message that declares that he alone is Christ, the King, qualified through his death on a cross to bring us peace with God. And it's the advancement of this gospel, this message that brings Paul great joy, even at the cost of his own comfort and reputation. Paul finds joy in the gospel advancing as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. And it's this source of joy that we're going to consider together this morning. A joy that's going to challenge us. You know, is this really a source of joy that I look to in the Christian life? It might sound like an obvious thing to say, but does it? When we hear of others speaking faithfully about Jesus, or when we hear of persecution adding to the spread of the gospel, does it fill us with joy? Is that where I'm looking to for a source of joy? My prayer is that with God's help, we would all share in this source of joy, whatever circumstances we're in today. And just so that we can see this straight away from the Bible, look at how Paul begins and ends this section we're considering this morning. So look at verse 12. Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Now we'll pick the details out in a minute, but just go down to verse 18 now. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul rejoices in the gospel advancing as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. That's the big point. It's a source of joy that I hope we will share in if we don't already. And so for the remainder of our time, we're simply going to walk through this passage of Scripture together and see this truth worked out. To look at how the gospel continues to advance, even in Paul's difficult situation. And how that would have been a massive encouragement to this church in Philippi, and I hope to us this morning. Now, Paul, like in most of his kind of letters in the New Testament that are recorded for us, he begins his letters with a thanksgiving to God, but also a prayer for those that he's writing to. And we saw that last week, didn't we? As we considered the joy he finds in gospel partnership. But as he starts this kind of new section that we're looking at this morning, he cuts straight to a truth that he wants them to know about. Look again at verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What does he want them to know? Well, firstly, he wants them to know that his imprisonment, his time in prison, has helped the advance of the gospel. In other words, this difficulty hasn't slowed or stopped the gospel, but it served it. In fact, his imprisonment seems to have helped the gospel advance in two ways. Number one, his imprisonment has given him more opportunities to speak about Jesus. Look at verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. On the surface, Paul being in prison seems to be an obstruction to gospel advance. You know, how can Paul continue to walk about and spread the good news of Jesus if he's confined in prison, if he's stuck in one place? But actually, the difficult and uncomfortable scene in prison leads to new opportunities to share Jesus with others. Paul is given fresh ears to hear the gospel message. And where perhaps people before could have walked off or ignored his message, well, now he's got an audience who are assigned to him, to keep watch of him, possibly even chained to him at times. They can't run off. He's got a captive audience. And as a result, he writes that everyone knows the reason that he's in chains. And it's not because of a civil crime or a political crime, but it's because of the gospel. It's because of Christ. That's the first reason he gives for kind of this gospel advance. His imprisonment has given him more opportunities to speak to others about Jesus. And so even in this hardship, he has a real joy because of that. But the second is this. His chains have spurred other believers to be bolder in proclaiming Christ. Look at verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Like the first point, it sounds almost a little bit backward, doesn't it? Paul is in prison precisely because he is a preacher of Christ, and so you'd expect the other believers to perhaps kind of tone it down a little bit or shy away from proclaiming Jesus. And yet his chains have stirred others to proclaim the gospel without fear. And this gives him great joy. I'm a big fan of rugby. And when I was at university, I joined the uni rugby team. Now, I was a bit tentative to do that because I knew what a lot of rugby clubs are like. There's a big drinking culture often, etc., etc. And I knew it'd be hard to stand as a Christian. I knew that would be hard, but I knew it would also be hard to then speak of Jesus to those that were there too. And yet one of the big encouragements for me to do that, to join, was the fact that there were already guys I knew from the Christian Union who were there, already taking a stand. And what's more, seeing gospel fruit as they had opportunities to speak of Jesus to others. They didn't enjoy the mocking or the sidelining that came because they were Christians. But there was a sense of joy because they had these opportunities in these places to speak to fresh ears the wonderful gospel of Jesus. And so their suffering in that place, in this rugby team, didn't put me off joining. In fact, in many ways, it encouraged me to join and to get involved in the mission. Paul, as he writes this letter, knows the believers in Philippi are in a similar position to him. Not in prison, but facing some sort of opposition and struggle. So at the end of chapter 1, so look down to verse 29, this is what we read. Paul writes, "For it has been granted to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Their situation is similar to his, and that's why he wants them to know about his situation. He encourages them to share in his joy that the gospel advances as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. In other words, he says, "Look at me. From a human standpoint, I'm in a pretty weak position here. And yet God is using this to advance the gospel, to reach new people with the message of Jesus, to encourage other believers to boldly proclaim Christ, to keep going." And I believe that same message is for us this morning. Now, I doubt anyone listening this morning is sitting in a prison cell for Christ. But friends, many of us are in difficult circumstances, and yet we can share in this joy that the gospel advances as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. And so for a minute, I want us to think kind of big picture and then kind of zoom back in a little bit. So first of all, think world mission, okay? Where is the gospel advancing most in the world today? Isn't it often in places where there's the highest persecution? Think of places like China and the gospel growth they've seen in the last few decades, even in hugely difficult circumstances. Gospel churches kind of having to meet underground, meet in secrets. Pastors from those churches, if they're caught, are having to face prison for about 15 years or more. And you might think that, you know, it's 2020, things are getting a little bit easier. But actually, according to the founder of China Aid, which is a Christian advocacy group based in the US, this is what he says. "Last year's crackdown on gospel mission in China is the worst in 3 decades. And yet at the same time, I also read this week in The Telegraph, where they said that China is on course to be the world's most Christian nation by 2030. Does that news kind of fill you with joy? In this place of great persecution and hardship, actually the gospel is advancing. Still today, the gospel advances as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Now, we thought big picture for a minute, but what about something a bit more obvious? Let's consider the impact of COVID-19. Now, again, unlike Paul, most of us aren't currently in prison for Christ. But like Paul, many of us are confined to one place at the moment. And let me tell you, when the elders of this church met kind of together pre-March 2020, and I'm sure this is true of other churches, a global pandemic was not on the list of strategies that we were going to employ to use to advance the gospel. Yet God is sovereign. COVID-19 is not out of his control. He's brought this pandemic to our world. And so our confidence is that even in the difficult times, this difficult season we're in, the gospel will advance. Now just think about your own setting for a minute. Hasn't this season brought about new opportunities to speak to neighbours about Christ? To share the hope we have of a certain future in light of our temporary world? This season has given us new openings to practically help others in ways we couldn't have done before. Now, of course, most of us would much rather meet in person. And yet again, this season has caused churches like ours to be more deliberate in producing gospel content online. How many more people have heard Christ preach because they can click a button rather than walk into an unknown building? How much more courageous will you perhaps be next week to invite a friend to our guest service because you're inviting someone to click a button and to watch along online? Now, again, I'm not seeking to dismiss the importance and the privilege of gathering together in person when we can, or even the dangers of laziness that can happen with online material. But in this season, can you see how the gospel advances as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances like COVID-19? This was Paul's experience and his joy. And again, let me ask you this morning, is it our joy? Do we see the advance of the gospel here, and does that cause our hearts to rejoice? Are we praying that we would find our joy in this source? This is challenging, isn't it? But let me, for a minute, just encourage you with this. There are many within this church family who are battling long-term illnesses or are in other very difficult situations. Yet it's often been a great encouragement to me and to others when in your trials you've declared how God is using you to speak to others, to doctors, to patients about Jesus. I've seen this joy that Paul talks about right here in our community through people from our church family. Now today, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you may be sitting there thinking, well, this is a little bit strange, or perhaps very strange. But I hope you can see that the gospel, the good news about Jesus advancing, really is joyful. We as Christians find joy in this advancing message of Christ, even in difficult circumstances, because it is a life-changing message, a message of hope in hopeless times, a message of forgiveness and peace at no cost to the believer, but at the total cost of Christ at the cross. So you won't understand the joy that we're considering this morning until you come to Jesus and come to experience the joy of having your history, as it were, clean and receiving life that lasts for all eternity with our Saviour Jesus. When you experience this joy, then you'll begin to share in the joy in the gospel advancing as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Now, so far we've considered two ways that Paul's imprisonment has actually helped the gospel to advance, and in which he finds great joy. But there's much more, well, there's a bit more to consider here. Now, we saw in verse 14 that Paul's chains encouraged other believers to proclaim the gospel without fear. But it's also evident in these kind of last few verses here that the gospel preaching inspired by Paul's imprisonment kind of stems from either one of two opposing motives. So look down at verse 15 to 17 with me. Paul writes, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains." See, firstly, in verse 16, we see that there are those who preach with a right motive. They recognize that Paul's imprisonment is for the gospel, and their kind of motive for preaching Christ comes out of this love and goodwill for him. But secondly, in verse 17, we see that there are those who preach Christ with a false motive. They preach with a sense of rivalry to Paul, hoping to stir up trouble for him while he's in prison. Now, it's not clear. We're not told exactly how some here managed to preach Christ faithfully, but in the same breath cause Paul more hardship. But that's not the big point. Again, Paul models to us his priority and concern is that Christ is preached, that the gospel advances. That's his heart, and that's what gives him joy. See, look at verse 18. He says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Paul has little regard for his own well-being as he writes this letter. We can see that clearly, can't we? He could have spent so much more time writing about his hardship in prison, how horrible the people are who are in one breath proclaiming Christ and in another kind of maligning him. But he doesn't. He spends time rejoicing. He finds joy in the difficulty because the gospel advances as Christ is preached. And that's challenging, isn't it? That's Paul's attitude. Paul rejoices in the fact the gospel advances, despite the opposition he faces, despite the kind of chains cutting into his wrists, despite the fact some are preaching Christ deliberately to stir trouble up for him. Rather than focus on those things, he rejoices in the fact that Christ is preached and the gospel advances. See, it is challenging. When situations turn on us, on me, when our comfort is squashed and our concerns can easily slip to ourselves. That's what makes Paul's example here striking. See, will we pray for ourselves, for each other, that we'd find similar joy in gospel advance, whatever happens to us, however others perhaps view us? Paul's joy is found in gospel advance as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Now we're going to pause here. I'm going to give you a moment just to reflect on Paul's joy that he writes about here, the truth we've been considering this morning. Why not grab a pen and write something down to remind you and to help you to find, to look here for your source of joy in this gospel advance. Paul's joy is found in gospel advance as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Just take a minute to reflect, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that it's been good to look this morning again at the theme of joy and where we find our joy. Father, we're challenged this morning to see this source of joy, to find our joy in the gospel advancing as Christ is preached, even in difficult circumstances. Father, we often like to complain, perhaps, or to moan about difficulty that comes our way. And Father, it's good to bring those things before you, but Father, please, would you work in us a spirit of joyfulness, especially as we've seen this morning, as we see the gospel advance around our world, around our country, around our neighbourhood. Would you give us greater boldness to declare the gospel, that we may share more and more in each other's joy as the gospel advances. Father, please work this in us. Please help us to find our joy in these things and ultimately in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to respond now by singing a song together.
The promise of His word in God.
Thank you for joining us again this morning. Just a reminder that we have the Zoom Cafe running again following this service at 11:30. Please do join us, whether you can stay for a short time or for the whole time. It'd be great to see you there. If you want details about that, please email the office. Hopefully the address will come up as it did before. But as we finish our time together, let me lead us in a prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.